Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
This is Athens News Matters, and I'm Alexia Ridley. On Tuesday, Athens Clark County Commissioners discussed possible transportation projects that could be funded by TSPLOS 2023. The Citizens Advisory Committee had vetted $700 million worth of proposals submitted by Athens residents and winnowed them down to the list of about 150% of the total expected TSPLOS revenue. The committee's next task will be to cut that list down even further so that the final recommended set of projects will total about $144 million. Here to talk about that, plus the rest of the weekend news, are Chris Dowd with Athens Politics Nerd and Gwen O'Looney with WXAG. So several commissioners seem concerned that pavement maintenance wasn't included on this list, even though the county staff had requested over $70 million for pavement projects. Gwen, let's start with you and your thoughts on that.
Well, pavement traditionally is our job out of general fund, and it's been very progressive lately. We've got a lot of money we have not spent from the last DSPOS on pavement, and I love this list. I think they've done a great job doing the necessities under maintaining maintenance, and that's the bridge improvement program and the culvert and live stream and the stormwater roads and bridges. Those things, they're taking a major part of it. The other thing is that they're covering the cost of some longstanding commitments and getting them done. And I love the fact that 42 of these projects are community-led submissions. So this is an advisory group that has done a great job of caring about locations throughout the community, catching up in areas that have not gotten a lot of attention, and looking at our long-term commitments.
Yeah, I completely agree, Gwen. I think this is a great list. It's just really wonderfully democratic that we have all of these citizen-submitted projects that are making it on the list. A lot of stuff in North Athens and East Athens has made it on. So that's wonderful. I'm a little worried about not including the pavement maintenance on there because there's so much money that they need for that, and I'm not sure how else we're going to fund that. So I imagine that the commission's going to put on at least some of that back on in TSPLOST, and I don't know what they're going to take out. So it remains to be seen how much of this great stuff will stay in there because, it is a 150% list right now. So they have to take out, that 50%, and then maybe even more to put pavement maintenance back in. So we'll see what the final list looks like, but it's looking great right now.
Right. One thing that always worries me, although I'm not surprised and I don't disagree, but College Square was not included. And that is a project underway that needs to be finished at a top level of quality. So I'm hoping the commissioners recognize that we as citizens need to take more responsibility for some of these projects and not depend solely on TSPLOS and ESPLOS and SPLOS.
Yeah, they were asking for like $8 million, I think, for the College Square one. And that I wish they had a smaller version of that project, because I think we could do a lot of great stuff in there for like $3 or $4 million. So I'm not sure why they needed so much money for it. But yeah, I think that's why I got cut out. But yeah, I like that one too a lot. I hope they find a way to fund that.
One of the things you guys did touch on, obviously, the pavement maintenance, that was a big chunk of money. What are advantages and disadvantages to using TSPLOS money toward maintaining county roads?
Obviously, we're kind of over committing our community if we are dependent upon monies that are short-term rather than a long-term budgeting program. That has been our past, is that we have included, along with state monies, which have disappeared, and they gave us this TSPLOS. So The gas tax has never been distributed fairly by the state. There are lots of alternatives that can be changed on the local and the state level.
Yeah, I guess an advantage to putting it in on TSPLOS is that it'll get done. I mean, you know, and a disadvantage would be, I mean, they want like $72 million for it. So, I mean, that's like half the TSPLOS. So I don't know how this, we have to figure out how to fund this because this is, neither way seems to be working to me.
Was there anything else in the discussion about those TSPLOS projects that stood out to either of you?
Well, I was glad to see that they supported the West Broad roundabout. I think that we've got a good plan. It's not invasive. It's really one of the lower cost plans. And I was glad to see that they funded that completion.
There's one project I was a little sad about that they didn't include, which was number 26 for transit operations and maintenance facility, and also three transfer stations sort of around the county, which I think would really improve the efficiency of the transit system. So I hope we find a way to fund that, maybe in the infrastructure bill that was just passed. I'm not sure.
I agree with that. But I do think that the transit has been very aggressive in seeking national funding. And like, for instance, a number of the buses that were funded last time under TSPLOS, we found monies for and were able to reallocate that money. This is an excellent opportunity for them. Those transfer stations and our obvious commitment to transit would be great attractors of federal money.
And let's go back to the roundabout at West Broad and Hancock. I know for a lot of people, this is sort of a dreaded intersection. And this project really has been in the works for some time, hasn't it?
Well, it takes about 7 years for traffic or highway improvements to occur because they require a lot of planning, a lot of property acquisition, approvals along the way, et cetera. So, in a way, this project has moved pretty quickly. It's been thought about forever, but it's our actual implementation has not been that long to me.
There have been some earlier designs for it that weren't as good and people had some issues with. And I'm almost glad that they spoke up because the current design looks great. I'm really thrilled by it. So there were some issues with, there's a stream running through the intersection that they didn't want to impact. And then one of the earlier designs had them closing off the plaza, which was a big deal breaker for the people on that street. So the current design doesn't impact the stream. It leaves the plaza open. And it just looks really cool. And I can't wait for this to get implemented.
Right. It gives a lot of access to new areas, new credentials, you might say, to new neighborhoods carefully. I agree with Chris.
And there'll be a crosswalk when this is finished. So right now you can't cross that road. It's impossible. And but now there'll be a crosswalk. So there'll be a way to legally cross this busy road. And it'll slow down traffic, so it'll be a lot safer to do that.
A crosswalk, it's like, that's a big thing, because as Chris said, nothing there. And it just seems like it's going to really ease things.
Yeah, roundabouts. I mean, I was happy with the earlier designs, because I just like roundabouts, because they're just a lot safer. And they actually move the traffic through, you know, more quickly. I mean, the cars slow down, but more cars actually go through, you know, per unit time, so per minute or whatever. So I just like randomness in general, but this particular design, I think it just looks amazing. It just, the extra work they did on it really shows.
Right. I'm hoping that they don't ruin this roundabout with the amount of signage that they tend to put right in the middle. If you go out Millage to the new roundabout at Whitehall, you know, there's just no need. They really are insulting at how much they tell you. And most communities put signs way before the roundabout. our community, they just put them all. Tallahassee is the same way. So these roundabouts can be very attractive, efficient, and effective traffic installations, but they don't have to be ugly.
Another really quick benefit of roundabouts is that they're low tech. They don't require any electricity. Like, so when the lights go out, it's still perfectly safe. You don't have to have a traffic light there. I just like them a lot.
And you don't have a bunch of cars sitting there with their exhaust polluting. Chris is right. It's a very environmentally correct way to do things.
And yeah, you're right. There's traffic never has to stop at a roundabout. It just flows.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to move to the state level, and Georgia lawmakers are back in Atlanta this week, and they've drawn some criticism for the redistricting process so far. So I guess, what stage are we on right now in the House, Senate, and congressional map?
Just this week, they passed the House map, which has Athens split up into four pieces, which is, I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, but I was not really prepared for this four-piece jigsaw puzzle that I'm looking at right now. It's, this is a bitter pill to swallow, definitely, I think. I hope anyone who cares about democracy, because there's just, this is probably going to keep the Republican Party in control of, you know, the state house probably for 10 years, I think. I mean, definitely this gets rid of any hope of having, you know, a second Democratic state house representative in Athens. Like, it'll just be Spencer Fry and that's it. There's no way we can win these districts. I hate to say that, but I would hope even Republicans who, you know, care about our Republican form of government here, this is not good for any voter at all, because it takes away the power of our vote, no matter what party you're in. And it's good for all politicians because, you know, I'm sure Spencer Fry hates this map, but he has a safe seat now. Like, no one wants to run a competitive election every 2 years. No politician does, because it's very draining. So this is great for politicians in both parties, and it's bad for voters in both parties.
That's right. It's also bad for our state, because our state is beginning to vote more and more democratically. And to have a split administration, legislation, that sort of thing would put us, I mean, if we're not careful, we'll move into the kind of stalemate that we're seeing on the national level. I agree with everything Chris said. I also, at one point there was one map that I think it was the Senate that looked at, that had Athens as one entity. And I knew that there was no way they had the guts to pass that one.
Yeah, on the state Senate side, we're still split into two pieces. It's not as bad of a map as the state house districts, but yeah, we're still split into two pieces on that one.
Right. Then our Georgia election officials are very upset. A majority of our counties in the state asked the legislature to not implement this for the November vote, because it was going to be so confusing and hard for them to be prepared. And that's going to be especially true for Athens-Clarke County voters.
Another criticism these maps have gotten is that, there's been a big increase in the minority population in the last 10 years, and that's not represented in these maps at all. There aren't any more majority-minority districts than there were before, even though the population is so much higher. So yeah, it's just, they're just not good maps for anybody, except the Republican politicians, I guess. That's it.
We're out of time for the panel this week, but of course, stay with us. We'll have more Athens News Matters after the break.